When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is October 19th, the NXT 2.0 go-home show before Halloween Havoc. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Issa, NYC Demon Diva, and Alfred Kanawa, here to talk about NXT 2.0, which I feel like has now been on the air since I was in my late 20s.
It does feel like a long time has gone by once you've watched the show because there's so many different segments.
Especially the Johnny Gargano promo tonight, that really felt like, oh, where you been? What's been going on? Like, it's been a while. So much to talk about, so much to dive into. Next week, Halloween Havoc. And if you dress as your favorite NXT superstar, you might get sat down front. So I think I was waiting to talk about this off the air, but I think next week, I don't want to spoil it, but I think each of us needs to dress as our favorite NXT 2.0 superstar for next week's.
So all of us are going to dress up as Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to end up happening.
Everybody dress as your favorite NXT. There's going to be a run on fedoras across the nation. Everyone dress as your favorite NXT 2.0 superstar for next week's episode of the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Okay. I got to get somebody to braid my hair so I could, maybe gain a couple pounds so I could be Odyssey Jones or Odyssey Jones, Carmelo Hayes, who knows? But my hair needs to be braided, it looks like.
It's a look. So before we dive into NXT 2.0, what's going on in the news?
Well, let's start off with some ratings news for both Dynamite and Raw, because Saturday Night Dynamite was on a Saturday, so these numbers did come out today. Starting with Saturday Night Dynamite, it did 727,000 viewers on TNT. Of course, that is down about 31% from last week, but if we're going to go apples to apples, it is up from the last time it was on a Saturday, which was June of 2020, did about 649,000. So up in the key demo, also up in total viewership, but obviously down. Overall from last week, which did just over a million, so down 31%, down 24% in the key demo. Dynamite was a lot of fun. Me and Issa covered it this past Saturday. I thought it was a fun episode. I thought it was a pretty good episode. It just got moved to Saturday against all that competition from Real Sports, but kind of a mixed bag for AEW in that, yes, the number is way down from last week, but at the same time, if you're comparing it to what they did last year, it is a little bit up, and obviously they have the momentum that if you ask an AEW supporter or AEW's Tony Khan himself, have that momentum in terms of that first 30 minutes going head-to-head against SmackDown, which before we get to the Raw viewership, I do want to get your guys' thoughts. I know they did talk about this on Raw, particularly Issa. Roman Reigns, it looks like, head-to-head with Ruby Soho and the Bunny. Acknowledge her was trending last night. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar were, it looks like, outperformed in the 18-49 demo. I just want to get your response to this.
I mean, I don't even understand the ratings anymore. I was so confused by all the numbers that I saw come across. But listen, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. I got some Fast Nationals texted to me on Saturday.
Yeah, you did.
By the way, why didn't that gimmick go over? I thought that's one of the funnier things I've ever done, with imaginary text from Vince McMahon and, crickets. No one else found that as hilarious.
No, it did well. It did very well. It was, one of the first things that came up when I was looking at the Fast National search.
I had some additionals I tried, Vince saying, hey, why does everybody want to ride home on my plane on Thursday?
I thought it was a great bit, Glenn. I thought it went well.
Registered texts from Vince on Twitter and everything. I was all ready to make this a gimmick, but it's just not hitting on all cylinders.
Stick with the bit. You got to commit to the bit.
You got to be consistent. Yep.
Not everything right out the gate. Right. Look, even in the key demos, this is where it's embarrassing for AEW that they didn't squeak out a win on Friday. Now they will be going head to head again with SmackDown. Will they be live, though, when they're head-to-head with SmackDown the next time? Isn't that coming up in a week?
Well, October 29th, they're going head-to-head with Talking Smack.
Oh, got it. Oh,
and that's when I kind of started to think that maybe these demos would be close in terms of the overall demos of what they did, which were identical, really. It was 314,000 for WWE 313. A, the streets didn't give me the demos. And B, when they announced the Talking Smack head-to-head, I was thinking, well, the demos haven't come out yet. How could they make such a decision? Not knowing where the demos are. What if they blew out AEW in the demos? Wouldn't they want to run this back? And the fact that they just announced that like that made me think, this might be closer than we think. I knew they probably knew this whole time, but they just wanted to, you know, wait a little bit because we're in a war. They wanted to control the narrative a little bit in terms of what the Fast Nationals were. And they had the total numbers, which SmackDown did win pretty handily.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. But,
very fun. Everybody won something, it feels like. It's like let's make a deal where everybody feels like they went away with some type of prize. AEW, whether it's the 30 minutes, whether it's the time the demos and SmackDown, whether it's the total viewership, but a very competitive war, I believe, that we are witnessing currently.
I feel like what we get at the end of the day, it was a night where both shows tried. And if that's what we're going to get over these wars, then keep them going because that's ultimately what we need. Can we get AEW to go head-to-head with Raw? Then maybe they'll try to.
That might be a death wish, but who knows?
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of Raw, Issa, the Raw rating came in, and again, not very good. Last week was the sixth lowest Raw in history, and this week is up to the seventh lowest in WWE Raw history with 1.593 million viewers. It's down, so it's pretty much even from last week. It started off 1.588, went up in the second hour, which is something we've been seeing, to 1.624, and then went back down to pretty much the same 1.57. So Raw didn't do too well, and it's actually the lowest 18 to 49 demo in the history of Raw. It was down 6% to 0.39, which is about 510,000 people in 18 to 49 watching Raw. Of course, Raw went head-to-head with Monday Night Football. The Bills and Titans had a really good game that went down to the wire, and then also went head-to-head with the MLB playoffs, which has been ongoing. Your guys' thoughts on the Raw ratings, starting with you, Glenn?
I mean, I haven't had a TV for the last 3 weeks, so the Nielsen's, the ratings are suffering. The TV industry, Hollywood, is really
that's what it is.
As a result of me watching everything on my iPad.
Yeah, agree. I mean, it was a horrible show. Let's be honest, it was bad. The only thing that was like incredible was that main event, and they ended it with a crappy finish. So it feels like why watch when nothing matters? Not a single match outside of King Woods advancing onto the finals of King of the Ring. Nothing else in that show felt like it really mattered. They did Street Profits and RK-Bro for the first time also in a DQ finish. It, like, what's the point? What is the point? I don't blame people for getting fed up with it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nothing did feel like it mattered. And the things that potentially could have mattered, like the main event, which I thought they were building the show around in terms of Bianca Belair's coronation, it was a great match, but that also ended in a DQ. And, you know, RK on Street Profits is a fun, fresh match that soured people. And I just think that this mentality of how WWE is booking its product is now making it inferior to what is real competition in, and I'm not even talking about wrestling, I'm talking about the sports that are currently on. October is a very busy month for sports, and some of these more casual viewers, even though the viewership is mostly hardcore, people who have a choice are going to err on the side of watching sports and watching other things because I think of how WWE is booking the product. And I really don't think it helped that they went through that several weeks where they were doing hot shotting, and now in comparison, they're just running these regular shows, which it's not as there's not a sense of urgency to watch these shows unless they're putting something huge on there, like a WWE championship match.
Yeah, I question so many of their decisions because I feel like doing this draft for it not to take effect in 2 weeks really hurt the product because now they're just like half-assing it until they get Crown Jewel over with, and then we really get the reset. That's how they even advertise in SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. And then they also say everybody remembers the finish. If you would have made Bianca the champion last night, then maybe people would have overlooked the fact that the show was so horrible. Yes. But it's like it was the perfect ending to a crap show that you gave us all night. So they really, I'm gonna
the perfect ending to a crap show.
To a crap show, yeah. I'm hoping that next week we can finally wrap up some feuds and move on and start some fresh feuds on Monday Night Raw with the new official roster without people going back and forward. Of course, they'll do that right after Becky and Charlotte swap belts because that's probably what they're going to end up doing.
Ugh. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, there need to be fundamental changes, because the fact that there is a war and AEW is coming along, it's not an AEW story. It's a pro wrestling story. Like, if the XFL was competitive with the NFL, it'll tell you not that XFL is on fire, but that the football industry is dying. And that's what's happening, what we're seeing in this market leader in WWE with all its resources. There are some fundamental problems, and we can't name all of them on this podcast. And one of them is just this weekly Raw show. You see all the problems in terms of how they go about presenting their roster. It is a talented roster. We're going to get into Montez Ford and his potential push, which I'm excited about. But of all this talent, you could only get so excited when you're just seeing how it's being utilized from week to week.
Yeah, and it's not fun. It is not a fun show to watch.
No. No, that's why I stopped. It is not enjoyable. I would rather sit in a dark room with no television on, in fact, than watch Monday Night Raw.
Damn. See, you get Glenn to watch, the Nielsen ratings will go right back up. So they need to start creating television for Glenn, man.
I would rather get around to doing chores I've been putting off doing for years that my wife no longer believes I'm ever going to do. I would rather get around to that than watch Monday Night Raw. I would rather call relatives who borrowed money from me and never paid it back and have an awkward conversation where there's that weird tension of going like, I'm not going to bring it up. Are they going to bring it up? I would rather do that than watch Monday Night Raw.
We got any more?
I would rather look at the Facebook page of the girl when I asked her to homecoming freshman year, just laughed at me rather than give me an. I would rather look at her Facebook page and dwell on that memory for 3 hours straight than watch Monday Night Raw.
You got to get a Twitter account going at Glenn would rather, and then just all these tweets and the things you want.
I would rather go to a timeshare seminar. I don't want the presentation. I just want 3 hours of the hard sales tactics. I would rather endure that.
You see what happens when you commit to the bit? Incredible.
Mr. Meowpus, Australian 299, saying talking smack during the Thunderdome era was better. Look, talking smack when it was Daniel Bryan and Renee.
Yeah.
That's talking smack.
Excellent. That is the pinnacle of talking smack. That's what we're always going to grade it against. So final news story is about the very talented Montez Ford. So we had reported a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that. And of course, all these stories available on Wrestling Inc. Happy belated birthday, Raj Giri. But another story that's on there is a backstage report about Montez Ford. There were reports that they were thinking about possibly splitting up the Street Profits ahead of the draft. That did not happen, but there are now reports that possibly Montez Ford could be in line for a singles run. Looks like that match he had against Roman Reigns a few weeks back was a trial run. He passed with flying colors. The officials are high on him. He really is kind of presented him and Angelo Dawkins as a Street Profits as kind of like ambassadors to WWE in terms of all the promo work they get to do and hosting the shows and all the charities and stuff like that. So it does seem like for a while they've been high on him, but now there are reports that we might be closer than ever to a Montez Ford singles run. Are you ready for that, Issa?
Yeah, 100%. I think he's very talented. It worries me for the tag team division just because we have no tag team division to break up the Street Profits. But at this point, yeah, I think he deserves it. I think he's going to do amazing. And yeah, I'm excited for it. I loved his match with Roman Reigns. If that was a trial run, you're absolutely right. He completely nailed it. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, what do we do with the tag team division? There's no tag teams left.
What do we do with Angelo Dawkins?
Yeah. I mean, I hope they do something with him because he is a talent, but I'm afraid they'll just see him because WWE is subscribed to this Marty Jannetty theory where one guy has to go over and the other guy has to just go to the background, and that would be unfortunate.
That should be a stable called the Jannettys and just have it be all the secondary tag team partners.
You know, that's not the worst idea I've ever heard. I mean, you're kind of burying the guys up front, but if they wanted to be ironic, and I think that it could be like a Social Outcast kind of thing, and that'd be a lot of fun.
I actually kind of like it, not gonna lie.
They could admit to murdering somebody. Like, could you have a lot of fun with this?
Oh my God, no. On Facebook. On Facebook.
On Facebook.
And then Glenn would rather read that post than watch Raw.
I would rather read that post and then Google. I would rather go through his feed and just read every conspiracy. I would rather see every conspiracy theory he's liked and read those theories.
Glenn would rather be the guy who got murdered by Marty Jannetty.
Perhaps. So NXT tonight.
Well, before we move on, just really quick here, a shout out to Voices of Wrestling, okay? As I like to call them, the White Voices of Wrestling, who sent out a very weird tweet last week. On this podcast, I described it as having a lot of slave owner energy. It actually inspired me to write my latest pro wrestling bit. It's on YouTube right now. Shout out to that. Top Dollar's a big fan of it, so that's cool. Point is, the editor of White Voices of Wrestling has now had to step down for, wait for it, using the N-word. So, bye! Don't let the door hit you on the hood on the way out! Block to you, Glenn.
Did you see his horrible statement?
I did.
Oh my god. Like, I was like, how can you make it worse, bro?
Shout out to White Voices of Wrestling, everybody.
I did not see this at all, but I'll have to catch
farewell.
Up.
Farewell.
There we go.
Cheers. It's over October, so I can only cheers with water.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, good Lord. You know what's funny is I love podcasting with both of you. People thought before you joined this podcast with me that we had already gone so far off the deep end. And it was just all inside jokes and inside humor and like maybe 10% wrestling and then just 90%. And I think that we've now gotten it down to, I want to say, it'd be fair to say, a good 9% wrestling and 91%. Yeah. 91% just what's on our mind. Just on what's on our mind. Which is
agreed.
Good.
Agreed. Sure. Sometimes I wonder how Raj still lets us do this. Maybe he doesn't listen. He probably doesn't go back and listen.
I can guarantee you, as much as I don't want to watch Monday Night Raw, Raj Geary would literally rather do anything else than watch this podcast. He would rather watch Monday Night Raw than watch this podcast.
Holy crap.
I love it.
Occasionally he's gotten cryptic tweets about something we joked about, and I had to he didn't go back and watch the show. He asked me, what's all this about? And I was like, oh, we were kidding about this. He's like, okay, now I get it. God forbid he fires up his own YouTube channel and gets context. So keep those super chats coming, everyone. So tonight, Carmelo Hayes, Mellowbration, NXT North American Champion, out there celebrating with Trick Williams. What did you think of this segment? Issa, to you first.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, you ended the show with that amazing title change last week. You had to open up with it. I think it made all of the sense in the world. I love the fit, by the way. I love the jackets without the shirt showing off the gold. I thought Trick Williams did an amazing job at hyping him up. And I don't know. I love Hit Row and I love Swerve, but we didn't see a lot from Swerve as champion. He never even defended it. So I'm hoping that Carmelo Hayes changes the path of the North American title, and I think we're going in that direction based on what happened next.
So, yeah, Johnny Gargano came out. My first thought was, I was like, oh, Gargano's contracts, or he's not renewing. They're going to squash him tonight. Like, this is going to be his send-off, right? I thought that, but I like how they played this. I mean, it feels like it's been a while since we saw him, and I like that he was out there to set up Dexter Lumis versus Carmelo. I think that's going to be a very fresh feud.
Yeah. I really did like this segment, too. I thought that it was very funny that Trick got spicy with talking about his daughter. And then, Dexter Lumis just showed up right behind him. That was very funny how they did that. I really like this. I like the fact that Johnny Gargano, even though he did delve into comedy, but he seemed to have that fire that he did when he was just, like, Johnny Wrestling, doing all these great matches and stuff like that. But at the same time, he was able to incorporate the comedic Johnny Gargano. So I actually like this hybrid. And as long as he's able to articulate himself as being serious and wanting to wrestle again while still being entertaining, I think that's a perfect balance.
Yeah, I love that he brought that up, where he was like, I've been busy with weddings and bachelor party and this and that. My wife is pregnant. It's like, I lost my way. And he's like, it's true. You have him in all this, well, very entertaining, you know, segments. But it's like, have we seen him wrestle? Not since that Fatal 5-Way. I think it's the last time we saw him do anything significant. So I love the fact that he was even like, I need to find my way back into, you know, what I do best.
And this match is going to happen with Dexter next week, right?
I believe it's. Is it going to be next week? Halloween Fabric? I don't think. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they did at least announce it like an angle, because, you know, later on they stole the title and said, I'll see you at Halloween Havoc. So I think they're more going to do an angle.
Because I feel like we've been robbed of a series of vignettes where Johnny Gargano has now accepted Dexter Lumis, tells him he can call him dad. Like, I want... Yeah.
He called him his son-in-law. I was like, yeah, oh my God, look at all the progress that we're making here.
I think this is gold, potentially. But no, you know, I wonder if Dexter is not long for NXT, because if he loses this feud, he's either going on the back burner or going to the main roster. I'm pretty sure he's losing that match.
Yeah, it depends on, I mean, who he faces. I think they'll have him hanging around NXT. I think a lot of the people who didn't get drafted are going to probably be in NXT for the foreseeable future. But, I mean, I could absolutely see him on the main roster, especially, you know, maybe when they get around the Survivor Series, that'll be another round of call-ups. But I could see Dexter Lumis as the main roster guy.
But we agree, Gargano is probably not long for NXT.
I don't know.
Are you talking about not long for WWE and then locked up with another company?
I don't know. I can see him staying. I can see him staying just because of Candace being pregnant. If he gets made an offer, you never know. I can see Johnny Gargano being such an NXT guy. But at the same time, if he goes, I mean, he's going to benefit from a lot. But you have to remember, there's so many debuts happening in the other company that you're just going to get lost in the shuffle. They're doing great with some people, but there are some people that are already getting lost in the shuffle. So it's like you have to consider all of your options.
If I'm Tony Khan and I can afford it, I mean, essentially, if he's given out, let's just say, even like $1 million contracts, in my mind, it's almost worth it to you know, he's got, as he put it, he's got deep pockets. Yeah. Like, why not burn 10 mil on just getting 10 of these pops to go win in the ratings against SmackDown, especially on Friday night? You know, symbolically, I think it would be worth the money.
I mean, I think that might be exactly what WWE might want him to do, as like Vince McMahon had hinted in that earnings meeting where he's just loading the market and Tony Khan is just, you know, it's kind of like you're putting cheese down for a mouse and then it just keeps eating the cheese. Like, at some point, he's going to eat too much cheese and have gastrointestinal problems.
It's true.
I'm just saying, it's like, what, you're going to really invest that much on a show that gives you not even 600,000 viewers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, hold on one second. I got to turn off my air filter because it's making a lot of noise.
Yeah, so I don't know. I can see Johnny Gargano. I don't know about you, Alfred, but I can see Gargano staying in WWE as well. He's one of those that I feel like it could go either way. I feel like with Adam Cole, I knew he was out, but Gargano is an I don't know for me. I think he could stay.
Yeah, that's a good point. He feels like an NXT lifer in some regards. I think just personally, like, it's not like I've talked to him or anything. He just regards, like, he has a certain pride maybe in NXT and being a pillar of NXT. And him and his wife are there. They're in a transitional period where they're about to have a child. I don't know if you want to add moving to a new company, probably moving to a new city or whatnot, having to travel on the road full time again, add that stress to having a child. So I really do think, especially because he's kind of teased and played with the internet of him possibly leaving, I don't think there's too much smoke to him going to AEW. It always has to be taken seriously. It's always something that could happen, but I could definitely see Johnny Gargano staying in NXT.
Yeah, I just feel very 50-50 about him, like I did with Pete Dunne, where there's other names that I'm like, oh yeah, he's out, like, without even question.
Well, Kevin Owens is leaving for AEW.
I think that, so yeah, he feels checked out. It feels like he's literally counting down the days. He's a guy who has history with those guys. They love pushing people who got over in Ring of Honor 15 years ago, and then Kevin Owens did. So I think Kevin Steen and AEW be perfect.
Alfred, you're so smooth.
We are living in nostalgia society. I was talking about this today. That 70s show is coming back. Law and Order is coming back. LA Law is being rebooted. Night Court's coming back. There's going to be History of the World Part 2, a sequel that was first teased 40 years ago. In History of the World Part 1, I think nostalgia is where it's at. And to that point, yeah, someone that was over in the Ring of Honor 15 years ago, that's the demographic for AEW right there.
Ring of Honor.
You forgot to mention Halloween Kills. The best part of the movie are the flashbacks to the 1978 movie. So
Raj Giri tried to live tweet Halloween Kills twice.
Oh man, I couldn't read those tweets because I'm a horror, you know, I'm a horror buff. So I was like, he hates it. And I don't think it was perfect. Don't get me wrong, but I didn't think it was as bad as he was making it sound either.
I gotta go back and read. Dude.
He was acting like it was the worst horror movie he's ever seen, and I'm like, oh no, buddy, there's worse. especially in the Halloween franchise. Oh, Let's be real. Like, just along Halloween alone, Halloween Kills is not the worst thing to have happened to that franchise. Yes. Rob Zombie is. Anyways.
Odyssey Jones versus Andre Chase. So Andre Chase, who I feel like is getting over and I feel like they're building, but I guess as a heel, him losing this match really kind of works.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. He's getting, like, they spend a lot of TV time on these Chase usage. They're building an actual character in Andre Chase, and this is one of them because they have so many things going on that you forget them. But this is one of them that always sticks with me. But they do always have him lose, so he's kind of a joke. Like, I have no problem with Odyssey Jones winning this. But I was thinking because they had such a long-term feud, this was going to be built up to Halloween Havoc. Why not wait another week and make it a little more meaningful? And guessing they're going to do more eyeballs for next week's Halloween Havoc, but then just kind of throw away on TV. It kind of makes me worried for Andre Chase.
Yeah, but to add on to that and play devil's advocate, Odyssey Jones needed a win. Yes. After he lost on that breakout tournament, you had him do anything but losing some weird matches to nobodies. So ultimately, it's like, okay, you know, Odyssey Jones is starting to look like a big guy that just loses every match. So I'm glad that he got a win. I was just shocked that it was against him because, I mean, he even has merch. He has merch before Tony D'Angelo. Yeah. So I'm like, come on, this is the only person that have released merch out of all this new batch of NXT 2.0 roster. This guy's the only one that has merch right now, and he loses. I was confused by that, but we experienced that last week too. We went through a lot of people losing that we were like, why did they do that? So I'm not surprised.
Andrew Naftel, Canadian $5, fire and shout, saying Halloween H2O and Resurrection are the worst things.
Resurrection, we don't talk about it. Resurrection never happened, Andrew. At least
that was the one. That was the one with the webcams.
That's the one with Busta Rhymes trying to kung fu fight Michael Myers. Yes.
Well, I gotta check that out. That sounds like
you know.
I don't like that. I love Busta Rhymes.
It's weird how the Halloween franchise has evolved and horror has evolved. That no one's saying Halloween 3 is the worst thing that happened to the
franchise.
Season
of the Witch is good. The problem is that because it doesn't have Michael Myers, people just like dismiss it.
As a kid, everyone hated that movie.
If you would have put that movie without the Halloween title to it, it would have become a horror classic. I would die on that hill.
Wow.
I just think that people, because it was under Halloween, people had expectations for it. But same time, H2O was not. I didn't hate H2O. I hated the mask, but I didn't hate H2O. So
the point Issa made about Halloween, that's how I feel about Blueprint 3. Jay-Z came out with Blueprint 3, and people didn't give it the respect it deserved. I really did feel, and to this day, I feel like it's a classic album. It's his first number one hit with Alicia Keys, New York State of Mind. Oh, yeah. But because he called it Blueprint 3, I think people just compared it to the other two Blueprints, which is fair. If he would have called it anything else, then people would look at that as a top five Jay-Z album, which I have it as a top five Jay-Z album.
I agree. I love that album as well.
Yeah.
10% wrestling, 90% everything else.
back to the 9%.
Well, Terry Allen Jr., $2, saying Issa, a short summary, becoming a gamer, and Alfred.
And Alfred? What about me?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. This
is very thanks for the shout out, Terry. I appreciate that.
So Malcolm Bivens coming out with Diamond Mine, his group, his East Coast family, if you will. Oh my God, that Sudden Impact podcast, like the whole thing, the one we talked about with the Motown Philly video, the whole thing's on Stitcher and I'm like five episodes in. It's basically an East Coast Family podcast. Like they're talking to all the people from the East Coast Family video, including Yvette Nicole Brown from Community, who was in the East Coast Family video, signed to Big Ten. I'd forgotten that. Yeah, so Malcolm Bivens, another Bivens, the East Coast Family, the Diamond Mine. The Creed Brothers versus Imperium tonight. Imperium getting a win. This was the thing. Like, did Imperium need this?
No.
This made me furious. This ruined the show for me.
Same. No. I'm glad they put this before Tony D'Angelo because I would have been done if I would have seen Tony and then had to go to this. No, Imperium did not need this.
Yeah, I could not believe this. I was watching this and I was like, oh, good. They're going to give the Creed Brothers a win over a name tag team. Wade Barrett is bringing up MSK. So now the Creed Brothers are coming for MSK. I was getting excited because I love the Creed Brothers. I think they're just so great. I mean, as a tag team in terms of this really legitimate badasses. And then Imperium, I mean, what we've done all we need to do with Imperium. They don't need the tag title shot. this is a perfect spot for them to lose a match. And I just could not figure out why you would beat the Creed brothers at this point.
Especially when you finally get some momentum on Diamond Mine after their horrible debut. You finally get them back into everybody's radar. And then you just have them lose like that. Like, I feel like Diamond Mine started improving when you added the Creed brothers to it. And this would have been it. And I don't know. I questioned a lot of decisions tonight. This was one of them. I really thought the Creed brothers needed this win. And I still don't understand why they didn't win.
It's very odd. So if the Diamond Mine were the East Coast family, would the Creed brothers be another bad creation? Or Belviv DeVoe? Or perhaps MC Brains?
They would be BBD. Definitely.
And they lost. They lost tonight.
It's like if they got robbed of a Grammy. It's inexplicable.
Imperium... Walter is great. Imperium, I think, has always been just sort of a also-ran tag team. As a stable, though, I mean, we've talked about this. Walter is the Justin Timberlake of Imperium, and without him, you have no Imperium.
Yeah. And the rest of them are Chris Kirkpatrick's. It's not like there's a Lance Bass. They're both Chris Kirkpatrick.
Wow. No, JC Chazette. They don't have a JC. Definitely do not have
Walter
a JC.
Walter is JC and JT.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. That's a better way of putting it.
And what's his face that got released was the Lance, and now we're left with Joey and Chris.
You
don't have to read this one.
No, yes, you do. Go ahead,
read it. Mr. 412-5 Congratulations on your Bucks getting their rings and for beating the Nets.
Hey, Issa, I was going to bring it up, but a 23-point victory for my Milwaukee Bucks. It was a very fun coronation for the Bucks, who are going to repeat this year. Thanks in part to Kyrie Irving, who is single-handedly torpedoing the Nets, and Ben Simmons, who's doing the same thing with the Sixers. I love it. The Milwaukee Bucks are repeating this year.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you.
So... it's interesting that Imperium gets attacked by MSK. Diamond Mine, then there was an interference. So by booking logic, Imperium winning, because Diamond Mine had the interference of Kushida and Ikebanjiro. So they look strong in defeat. So I guess, I mean, we are getting two feuds out of this, but Imperium's not going to beat MSK.
Why was the crowd so against MSK? Did you hear the reaction to MSK? What was that all about? I'm like, maybe I thought it was just me. I see Alfred nodding because I'm like, does the crowd sound like they don't want to see MSK? What the hell?
Yeah, that's been going on for a couple weeks now. I remember when they had, it wasn't last week, but I think it was the week before, they had that fatal four-way tag team match and the crowd was pro-Mello. And they were upset when he got eliminated. And then they just turned on MSK. And you could see, like, Nash Carter was visibly like, what the F is wrong with these people?
Yeah, like, it happened again tonight. I was why? What's with the hate? Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, I don't understand it either, Issa. But I have noticed that they started to turn on MSK, which, I mean, this is one of the most exciting teams NXT has. Maybe they've had the titles for too long, which I don't even know if that's true.
Really? That's going to be the issue? Because Raquel has had hers forever. Like... you know what I mean? And it's just like, who is it going to go to? You haven't built any other credible tag teams. And they have wrestled. They've been defending their titles. So it's not like they're just sitting there with the titles, not defending them. So I just don't understand why people are turning on them. I think they're exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Then video package, Kyle O'Reilly with Von Wagner. Having a bro down.
Why is Kyle O'Reilly boring even in this kind of situation? Like, I'm sorry, like, Von Wagner is over there like busting ass and trying to like put some like man up Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle O'Reilly still manages to bore me even in this fun segment.
Yeah, it's like they surrounded them with all, because this is exactly what this team needs. They're not gonna win anybody over on their personality or anything like that. And just wrestling isn't going to do it.
You mean Von Wagner? Come on. He's amazing.
I know it's a hot take, but I don't know about Von Wagner and that element. But the fact that they surrounded them with all this different stuff where they're out in the woods doing that, that's good for them. But still, I mean, it did not get me into it. It's like they even made biking in the woods and all that stuff seem boring.
Yes. Yep. Brock Lesnar would have just shown up there in that farm. Like, that's how you... I would love to see a Brock Lesnar farming, you know, training segment. That would be epic.
Do you remember when he was training for The Rock and they did The Rock vs. Brock and he's just carrying on the logs looking like such a badass? That was awesome.
Yes, yes. I'm telling you, Brock Lesnar watched this and was like, what the hell are they doing?
Heather Boone saying Kyle O'Reilly is definitely the Howie D of NXT. So there you go. Thank you, Heather.
Oh, man, the obscure boy band members are getting a lot of run tonight.
They're saying, you know, that area of Florida, I mean, WWE Developmental and the Lou Pearlman Enterprises.
Really, Lou Pearlman was a scum, though.
Well, because Vince McMahon is, you know.
I don't know.
Choir boy.
No, Lou Pearlman has that little MLM scheme going on for himself. That's true. Though.
Actually, I think the MLM scheme might have been the least of his scumbag antics. But there's documentaries. Everybody go watch that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, 10% wrestling. I think we cover every topic tonight.
What are the politics next?
Joe Gacy, Harland is Uh-oh. The disciple of Joe Gacy. What is going on here?
His little snowflake. It's not Harland anymore. It's his little snowflake. This was the biggest troll of a segment.
I didn't like it. I'm sorry, I'm blurry. I didn't like it at all.
It's like Glenn Jacobs' Twitter feed is writing what he thinks is a parody character for NXT.
What words do we have? We had triggered, we had disenfranchised, coalition. There's just all the words that, like, here's the thing. I'm intrigued by this. I don't know if this is the greatest segment, but I feel like they are very aware of how negatively it's being received. And they're like, oh yeah? Oh, you don't think we can make this? Okay, we're gonna go even further.
Trying to really push we it. Need to start tweeting that we love it, and then they'll stop doing it. You know what I mean? I really have a conspiracy. I think we just need to start saying it was amazing. This is the best character NXT has going, and then they'll stop it. I was intrigued by it, but tonight, I don't know. He lost me at Triggered.
Yeah.
He triggered me.
He triggered you.
Electra Lopez versus Cora Jade, with Cora Jade getting a win.
Why? Why did they let this little girl to I can't. I mean, they're building her up for something, right? Because she's the same one that rolled up Frankie.
Yeah. Yeah, where's Frankie?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know where Frankie is. They need a, you know, it's like somebody loses their dog. Like now, Frankie and the dog are gone. So they need to put her and the dog side by side. Like, have you seen reward for both of these?
Frankie, maybe it's just, you know, Frankie Monet had debuted 6 months earlier in NXT. She'd be on the main roster already or be a champion. I think her debuting when she did, she's just getting lost in the shuffle. I mean, in my mind, she should go to Women of Wrestling. She could be, you know, top star there. I don't know. It's just really unfortunate.
Well, I couldn't understand Cora Jade winning this match because Electra Lopez was being built up as this big heater for Legado del Fantasma. And I will say, at this point in the show, after Electra Lopez lost, I was kind of nervous for Legado del Fantasma because Santos Escobar lost last week, and then now you have her lose. And I'm just thinking, like, are they still committed to this stable? We'll get into it throughout the show as they did get their heat back. But I couldn't understand why they let Electra Lopez lose in this spot.
Agreed. I feel like she was being built up for something, and now tonight maybe lost some momentum. But I mean, you gotta keep an eye on Cora because obviously there's something there with the people that they're letting her quietly come in and beat. So we'll see where that goes, right? But I just thought that it was gonna be more for Elektra. She looks the part, she acts the part, and I thought she brought some she made Legado del Fantasma feel legitimate again. And now, I mean, again. At this point in the show, I was with you, Alfred. I was like, well, oh, crap. They're doomed. It was just all I could think about.
Terry Hahn Jr. Dollars clarifying his comment earlier. How you both became gamers.
Ah, I see.
I just play video games to hang out.
Yeah, I think because we're 90s. I mean, I'm a 90s kid, so there was like kind of an explosion of video games. So that's when Sega Genesis came out. And, you know, I went from Sega to PlayStation, you know, Super Nintendo, Mario. And then, you know, I'm a big Madden guy now. That's the main game. Oh, really? But GTA, you know, Red Dead Redemption.
I like GTA and I like Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty. I used to really be into Call of Duty, but then I kind of got burnt out to it.
About four times a year I play Fortnite, then I forget about it for a while.
When I was in college, my friend was a big Halo guy. I never really got into Halo, but he was really good at Halo. So what he'd do is he'd give me the headset, and I would sit there talking trash to everybody while he played. So they all thought, like, I'm the one playing, but I'm just sitting there talking all this trash while he's just murking everybody, and nobody ever got over on us. It was great.
It's like a modern-day Cyrano. so Google it.
I got it.
You know, to the audience. NXT Women's Tag Team Champions Io Shirai versus Persia Parada versus JC Jane. Oh, NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai. I forgot that there were singles in this. So this was to determine who's going to spin the wheel for Halloween Havoc.
It was a nasty spot here. Mm-hmm. Nasty, nasty spot on this match. She completely took me out. I couldn't help but to keep wondering, is she okay? Which I read she was checked on by medical, but yeah, there was. It didn't look pretty.
Yeah, that. I mean, and the crowd just completely died. I mean, not for the duration of the match, but when she took that spot and just landed right on her face, JC Jane, yeah. Everybody's just, you know, terrified, and she was taken out of the match immediately. I mean, she caught Io Shirai, and then when they came back, she was out of the match. Which, you know, I hope she's okay because that was a very ugly spot.
Yeah. It completely took me out of the match once I saw that. I do think that Io and I'm sorry, I just forgot her name. What's her name?
Zoe?
Zoe Stark.
No, the girl, the Indy's partner.
Oh, Asia Peretta.
Yeah, I thought they put on. I thought they were doing very, very well, but I couldn't focus. I really was refreshing the timeline because people that were there live were tweeting about what was going on. So I hope she's okay.
Yeah, JC Jane reporting injured Wrestling Inc. Stay tuned for the latest updates there. Hopefully she's okay.
Persia Parada.
Yes.
And the scary thing about this is that the match that they decided on was like a Stairway to Hell ladder match. And just given the experience of them, what we just saw, they better be very conservative. You let Io do a moonsault out that ladder, but I don't want to see that ladder involved too much. Just, you know, given they just need more experience so that they can get more comfortable with something like that. Because if we're seeing these types of errors, like in a match like this, you know, the ladder is going to only heighten that danger.
Yeah, yeah. And Io is a pro. And I think somebody in the chat mentioned that the way that she just thought on the fly and kept that match going, like, you have to give them props. But it just looks scary. And I hope that they're able to have the match next week. We'll see.
Yeah. So Stairway to Hell ladder match. And Io Shirai won the match tonight. Legado del Fantasma beat up Trey Baxter while Cora Jade watched. Brooke Jensen and Josh Briggs ran in to make the save. And then a brief video package for Tony D'Angelo. These were just outtakes from last week. I want fresh Tony D every week. But at least...
we got fresh Tony D after the commercial break.
Tony D. Also got a coming soon teaser vignette for Solo Sikoa tonight.
Yes! Yes, the third Ooth.
Yes.
I'm excited for this.
A talented family, man. They got Jacob Fatu, you know, Roman Reigns, the Usos. Umaga might have been better than all of them. He was very talented. Like, this is a very, the Anoa'i blood, the Rock. Some good blood. Good blood.
Ikemen Jiro interrupting Kushida as he tried to use these.
Oh, I love this. This saved the show. See, I would have hated this whole stuff if it wasn't for this.
This was really a highlight. This was a highlight.
So Kushida has got the Marty McFly gear back.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing.
He was like in the bathroom, and then when Ikemen interrupts him, like, he doesn't take exception. He's just like, he's into it immediately. He's not asking, hey, man, I'm in the middle of something. They're touching each other after. This is so funny. It's like a wacky, like, segment that they just went all the way with the wackiness, and it really worked for me.
And they once again said the line, style strong, which...
I love these guys.
I know. This was fun. This was fun.
Yeah, I agree. Then Tony D'Angelo versus Wu Fang. Tonight. Tony talked. Tony spoke to the crowd.
He doesn't even have to talk to speak to the crowd, though. Just want to throw that out there. Tony D'Angelo doesn't even have to talk to speak to us.
100%. The connection is made.
Yeah. He just has to come out. He just has to come out and that's it. He captures my heart every time.
I was thinking about this. He's too big for the North American Championship. I think he's the one. I think he's going to take this title off Tommaso Ciampa.
I think he's too big for NXT.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He's too big for wrestling. He needs to be in movies.
It's true.
He's give him all the belts, all of them.
This was great tonight, though, right? I mean, this was everything I wanted it to be. More.
Tony wrestled with stacks in his pocket.
I really liked it because they kept it kind of quick and then they got right to the promo and it was a very Tony D'Angelo promo. I liked that the producer's name was Mark. I don't think that was a coincidence.
I know.
He didn't to forget about like this is he called her a snitch. Like, hey, don't be a snitch. Like,
I mean, here, like, go get you something nice, honey. I was like, oh my God, Tony, whatever you want, I'll go get me something nice. And he didn't even give me the money, and I was like, I'm gonna go get me something nice tomorrow because Tony said to do it.
Man is a superstar.
Tony D'Angelo for
2024. Mm. Oh, what is the ceiling? Tony D'Angelo.
There is none.
He's going to be president. Issa just started the campaign. People are going to start voting for him.
Hey, yeah, I'm going
to. I'm writing him in.
Write him in. Everybody in the. Okay, we got 376 and counting. So we got 376 votes there. So we got a couple million more to go, but it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen.
So who's his first feud? Because now we're getting.
Roman Reigns.
Does he go over though, Issa? Is he the one?
Hey, let's not get carried away now.
That's a good question. To be honest, it sounds ridiculous, but his first feud seems like it's going to be Lash Legend in some ways. I don't know how they navigate around that, but that's the story they're telling in terms of him trying to get on this show. So I don't know if she has somebody. I mean, WWE doesn't do the intergender thing, but she's like 7 feet tall. So
I know.
I mean, he'd be selling for her, but you know, who knows what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
So Lash Legend is going to have some kind of, you know, somebody to fight her battles, I would assume. And maybe that's the feud?
Oh,
yeah, possibly. The producer? I mean,
yeah, Mark. If we can ever find him. I mean, I'm pretty sure that car is in the water somewhere. If Tony is the kind of guy that I think Tony is, that car will never be found.
Yes.
His family is in the sanitation business, so.
It's true. Stellar just stung up his 2.0, $4.99 super chat saying, so Al, so informal here. So thoughts on the Bucks championship ring. Fun fact, it's the first ring in sports history to have a QR code on it for what I don't know.
I didn't know that. And that's I did see the ring. It's dope. It's amazing. I mean, maybe it's I'm nice. A little bit biased, but it's beautiful. It's got the nice buck on there. And I wonder where that QR code takes you. That's very
probably to track it.
Well,
yeah.
Somebody steal it, like
yeah. There's an Apple AirTag.
Somebody steal it in case like they should put that on the wrestlers' backs now.
Yeah,
we used Apple AirTags
on their belt for Rhea Ripley losing that title.
Yeah,
we used AirTags during the move. I bought a 4-pack and I put it in some of our stuff. And like I need to give them generic names, but I told my wife, you know, I was like, should I just name it like you know, bag of cocaine?
Yes, you should.
1,000%.
Because when you're near an AirTag for too long, it will pop up, even if it's my AirTag, if you were near it too long, it will pop up on your phone and say, do you want bag of cocaine to keep sharing your location?
I like to name my phone like really scary things and send and then I same like send super scary airdrops at the airport to whoever had their airdrops on. I used to do it all the time. Like I would name it like Firefly Funhouse and airdrop pictures of the fiend. Oh my God, it's fun. It's fun. And then you just sit there and just you just look around and you can see who has it because people just go.
I stopped nicknaming my phone because I'm a 12-year-old, so my phone's nickname used to be African Black Hawk. African Black Hawk, okay? African Black Hawk.
I got it.
Early on in the pandemic, I joined in a Zoom meeting at work, and my boss was like, wait, who's African Black Hawk? And I had to just be quiet, like, I don't know who that is. Don't look at me. What is everybody looking at me for? HKWK. We're not no stands for Frank.
I should, you know, everyone. If you need anything for your phone, I think that's the one.
Yeah, you can have it. Public domain now. African Blackhawk.
Oh We're a mess.
9%.
The one that I have in my car is just literally called Poor Man's LoJack.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Very accurate.
Yes. Duke's Poker Room tonight with Duke Hudson.
Yeah. Why? Okay. We could have gotten more Tony D'Angelo time with
that. We could have.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was my first thought, too. I don't understand why they're doing this. Like, Duke Hudson has, like, a personality. He's really good. He doesn't need a whole entire gimmick to do this. And this isn't it, this whole poker play. I don't know how they can connect this to wrestling.
This is me. I just, like, literally paused trying to figure out how to bring it back, and I can't. There's no connecting that to wrestling, period. Unless somebody comes in and puts him through the poker table.
Well, that's got to happen at some
point. Well, yeah, I like that, Issa. They can, you know what? And I hate to suggest this because they do too many of these, but maybe they'll have a talk segment where it's like a poker playing thing where he plays poker with somebody in the ring. That could be something, but I just don't see where they're going with this.
Here,
poker.
You have Tony D'Angelo putting through the table, grab all the poker chips, cash them, and leave.
Oh, there you go. And we never see him again.
We never see him again. Like the car with Mark.
There you go. Legado del Fantasma versus Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs tonight with Raul and Joaquin getting a win for Fantasma.
Thank God. Legado del Fantasma, they're so up and down with them, right? Like, I feel like their booking is so inconsistent. I don't know how to feel about them anymore. Like, they felt very serious in the beginning. Santos Escobar was a legit threat, and now I just feel like it's like this. They're booking in NXT. I don't know what they're doing with them. And I'm surprised they kept them there. I thought they were going to get called up.
Yeah, they're doing that with a lot of people in terms of up and down. This is filled with random booking. And, I'm glad that the Legado del Fantasma ended up finally, you know, getting a win. But this was very weird in terms of how they booked the stable over the past couple of weeks.
If they lost tonight, you have to be done with the stables. Like, if you didn't have the after Santos losing last week and then Elektra earlier, my theory was if they don't win this, Legado is done. And I'm not exaggerating. What else are you going to do? They look like jobbers.
Yeah, there was an intensity to this. I was thinking, like, this should be just a regular throwaway, like, tag team match. But
no.
It must win for Legado del Fantasma.
Yes, I would agree with that because I was like, they have to win. Otherwise, I'm done with them. Like, it doesn't matter what they do or say. You're not going to believe anything out of their promos.
Yeah, I agree. Terrence Havercomb saying that Duke Hudson runs an illegal poker game in the back. Tony D'Angelo busts the poker game, takes the money, feud.
There you go. Tony D'Angelo is life.
Tony D'Angelo against everyone.
Yes. LA Knight is going to be the host of Halloween Havoc because he beat Grayson Waller tonight.
Okay. I'm going to miss Shotzi.
Me too. Yeah. She's great. And, you know, Shotzi's a big horror fan too. So
I know.
She embraced that like nobody's business. And I thought she was one of the best hosts they've had of anything in WWE history, but definitely the best, like, since they did the NXT hosting gimmick, I think she's like the standard of that.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel like LA Knight should be the guy to be hosting a horror theme.
Yeah, I agree. Because then they had Dexter Lumis host. Was it Halloween Havoc? No, yes. New Year's Evil. New Year's Evil.
I thought Dexter Lumis would have made more sense out of the characters that I left on NXT, or maybe this vignette that we kept getting from this person that could have been the host, you know? But LA Knight, I don't know.
Yeah.
People were speculating last week that it's a female performer based on the voice and silhouette, and that's Dakota Kai, some sort of reboot.
Could be. That would make sense. I think it's a swerve and it's going to be Elias.
You never know. You never know. Oh, Dave N, with his theory that Duke Hudson loses a lot of money, has to borrow money from Tony.
See, now we're talking. I like that.
Yeah. There's
lots comes of part of the family.
Yes. The main event tonight, Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker, can they coexist?
Oh my God. They need to stop. They need to stop. Like, now they're like, they realize that we all onto them, so they use the coexist word for everything. They did it so many times yesterday with Drew McIntyre and Big E too. They must be stopped.
Yeah.
Well, they not only coexisted, they won tonight against the Grizzled Young Veterans in the main event of NXT. But next week they'll be battling for the NXT Championship. I think Bron Breakker could win this.
This is the third week in a row that I forget that Tommaso Ciampa is the NXT champion.
Wow.
Is that bad?
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad he has a singles match next week, I guess I should say. And they need to figure out better way to book these feuds than can they coexist.
Can they coexist?
I agree. It's such a cop-out. It's similar to how they're always doing contract signings every week, where it's like there are other ways to tell stories, and WWE is just getting too comfortable with this staple. It speaks to one of the many bigger problems that's going on with this company, in that you see some of the lack of creativity, where they just keep going to these old reliables in telling the same story, so everything
except,
runs together.
Except for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. That was an excellent contract signing.
If every contract signing could be like that, I would never complain about contract signings. But, they don't do a good job in terms of executing like that usually. But, yeah, this is another trope that they love to use. Can they coexist? And I don't know. Like, I think Bron Breakker is going to win. But after watching this show and just seeing how all over the map they are booking these younger guys who really should be winning at this point, who knows? Right. This might be another case of them putting the veteran over and making them wait.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Do you think Bron... I mean, maybe. I just don't see him getting it yet. I personally think Ciampa is going to retain.
But Tommaso Ciampa is not the future of NXT.
Yeah. This Imperium isn't either. And they went over. Like, a lot of the past of NXT, when it continues to go over. And I like the idea in general of we're going to put all these veterans over. You're going to have to come and take this spot. And we're going to work the young guys up here. But they've been all over the map. They're not really consistently telling that. Sometimes it's like 1 week or 2 weeks in a row that the young guys are coming, and then they'll pull back on it. And there isn't really a consistent story being told that these young guys are on their way up.
Yeah. Am I the only one that's still bothered with how the Samoa Joe thing happened and we never heard why, or he just completely disappeared?
I've never even thought about that. You're right.
Well, it's only been like 2 months. He's still injured probably, right?
I understand that. But like they just say he's going to relinquish it. And then that will say no appearing on TV, no speech, no. Is he going to come back? Is he not going to? Nothing. You know what I mean? Like it just feels very weird.
It is weird. I agree. It's very strange. If Bron Breakker doesn't take the title, it's Tony D'Angelo's to lose.
Yeah. Well, yes, 1,000%.
He's got to go to the back of the line. Tony D'Angelo's up next.
Tony D'Angelo should buy that spot for next week.
And Tony D'Angelo is the line.
Yeah. He is the line. He needs to put William Regal in the back of his trunk until William Regal grants him this championship title shot.
Maybe that's what happened to Samoa Joe.
Oh, there you go.
Tony D'Angelo kidnapped Samoa Joe. Okay. We're ridiculous. I just want
that's going to be like the fallback. Anytime somebody disappears, it's like, well, hey, Tony D'Angelo.
Tony D'Angelo. Oh, that's God. Damian Priest hasn't been seen for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He was in NXT recently. Tony D'Angelo. Wow.
It's quite possible.
Yep.
Well, there you have it. That was NXT 2.0. Halloween Havoc next week.
I'm excited. I'm excited to dress up.
Everybody dress up as your favorite NXT 2.0 superstar.
Are we really doing this, or am I going to show up looking like a mark and you guys are like,
I may have ordered a hat off Amazon.
So. Yeah.
Okay. I already own a velour tracksuit, so, I'm good there.
I love it.
We're doing it.
Let's do it.
Doing it, absolutely. And then this Friday, though, we're back for SmackDown. This Thursday, Crown Jewel, I will not be covering it, or either of you.
Yes. No, unfortunately, I'll be at work. Oh, really? I'll try to see if I can stream it. But
I'll be covering it. But I think we're doing it later on, not right after the show goes off the air. We're going to do it the night, like at night.
It'll be interesting. It's a great card. They actually did a pretty – the one thing I will say about Raw is they really built that card up. But, I mean, this should be like WrestleMania with a captive actual audience that I think would be much more into this.
This is the best card they built for a Saudi Arabia show. There are matches that I'm actually intrigued by, and I think it's gonna be a decent show. I really do.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Hate the location, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Did you see Mustafa Ali is gonna donate his earnings? That's great. What a man. What a man.
I think he did that last time too. And that's you know, he's awesome. Him, it's just unfortunate that him and Mansoor, it's like they're being pushed in this position now that they're going to Saudi Arabia, and you know they're going to go away from them. But these are guys that they really should be investing in. Like that promo that Mansoor cut this on Monday.
It was good.
It might have been historic. When is the last time somebody of Muslim descent was able to cut a promo in their native language as a babyface? Like, usually that's a tactic to be a heel and get people to boo you from xenophobia. But they let him cut that promo in his language, and it was great. I love it.
Very cool. So, with that in mind, everybody, Issa's at NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with a one. Alfred is at This Is Nasty. But I think after tonight, I mean, did you try and get your old phone name? Was that taken on Twitter already?
I'll have to go and look that up. I hope I
at African Blackhawk.
African Blackhawk.
I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Have a great night, everyone. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.